that's what Edna's doing.
Yes.
You just talk it out. Yes. Put it down.
Tell Bill that when you went to Haifa, start that way, when you went to Haifa.
First time.
Yes, you remember the story that you told me real briefly about the scroll and all that.
Yes.
That's so wonderful.
The first time I went to Haifa in 1907, and it was in the early spring of 1907, and I sailed from Boston, and I had... I was secretary of a little committee working for the temple here in Chicago, you know, mm-hmm. in the early days.
You were inspired, Mother, to do
And this. So working for that, I thought, then when I engaged my passage on the steamer, Anna, my daughter, was going with me, when I engaged passage, I found that Mr. and Mrs. Agnew also had engaged passage on the same steamer, not knowing that I had any intention of going at all. And when we went to Boston, we expected to meet them there. And I prepared a list. I sent, we took foolscap paper, you know, a size of foolscap paper with the lines on it. And at the heading was a little supplication. We asked Abdul Baha, if he would bless us in this effort, you know, to raise funds for it. And I sent it to all the then known, there weren't so very many senders in America at the time, but I sent it just as universally as I could in the United States. And I had, well, almost 1,000, I know, over 900 names, you know, each plus, they wrote it with their own, in their own handwriting, each person, just like they would come to your center, you know, and each one writing. And then my husband took all of these that I had collected from the different parts, California and over, all around.
All over the whole country.
And he took one for the caption, you know, with a supplication on it. And then he made a like a scroll.
Pasted them together.
Yes, taking the supplication off, having it on the head, and then pasted them together till I had a long scroll. And when I got to Boston, the word came that Mr. Agnew's little boy had come down with scarlet fever. Couldn't go. It was in my baggage on the steamer. I was going to give it to him because we were going on the same steamer.
She's trying modestly to say that she was going to allow him to present.
Yes, I understand.
Circumstances made it that she presented.
So, my husband had fixed it in a nice way, you know, so it was easy to carry, and I was going to give it to Mr. Agnew to take to the master. And when I got off, it's very dangerous landing at Haifa in those days. They were suspecting Abdul Baha, you know, of building a fort. They thought that this original shrine of the Baal that he's starting, they said he was building a fort, and the walls are very thick. Not surprising that they thought so. But
this was before 19. This was about 1907.
Did you say? 1907. In February, I think it was. And so it was in my baggage. I knew couldn't come. So I took it with me when I went from. We landed at Haifa. We had to be taken off in rowboats. The ship couldn't go to the dock, you know. Inshore by these Arab, what do we should call those?
Well, Arab boatmen. They came out with ketchup.
They didn't have little steamers even, you know. Mm-hmm. They were just like rowboats.
Yes.
And so, well, we got through the customs.
Did you have any trouble getting through the customs?
That was where I expected the danger if they had ever opened that.
That's what I was thinking, yes.
It would have been very dangerous.
But it was rolled up just like you would a sheet of music. And I put it in.
What music?
In my mm-hmm. Yes. And when we first got there, had Cook's man take me to a little old hotel kept by a German Adventist. Oh, so simple, you know. They hadn't much, but it was very clean and nice, you know, everything was. And then we sent word up to the house that I was home at the time. His family were there. He was still in prison, in Prison City. But his family were there, and word went up to see them. And then they sent for us to come up, and for the women of the household to entertain us during the day, you know, and they took us in. He let them have his old Democrat, you know, his, they call it his carriage, but it was like an old Democrat.
Four seats.
And so they drove us up to the shrine that Abu Baha was then building, you know. And then, very funny, back of the shrine, there was a donkey tied to one of the trees, and that was their market wagon. That's the way they went to market. They sent the boy down into the German harbor where the stores were and got provision. So my daughter Anna, she was so intrigued with that donkey, and she said, "I wonder if I can ride the donkey down if you ride in the carriage, Mother." And so the master's daughter said, "Certainly." And they helped her on the little donkey and rode all down the hill to the back of the hotel. And Abu Baha sent word, tell Mrs. True to stay in Haifa until word comes from me. She can come to Haifa. Well, I think it was the second day that the word came very early in the morning. Word came that the master had sent word that Mrs. Chu should engage Cook's wagon, a wagon from Cook, to take us around the Ennegatta picture 15, hanging out there.
15 miles
the
around
the shore. Arca, you know. And we got engaged the wagon very early in the morning. Then we started out in Cook's wagon, and he drove us around. And this was show you
the way we knew it in the beginning, you see. And you drive all around that bay and come over here to Exeter.
Way over there, yes.
9 miles, I think it's
in
the nice
round.
That was painted at that time.
Yes. Very nice.
That was painted at that time. Well, I put in, when the friends found I was going, if you could ever see the things.
You mean they asked you to take over, would you?
Yes, besides the master.
Oh, these are from the friends.
You mean from America? Yes.
Yes.
Darling.
Dollars for the table. and babies' pictures and asking Abu Baha to name the babies. We were sent back names for the babies.
You were custodian of all these packages.
Yes. And so we drove around the Bay of Arca, you know, and we got to the master's house. He was then, he hadn't been outside the gates of Arca for 4 years. You see, the enemies had been doing something very bad. And the relatives that were bad, you know, violators, well, they weren't allowed to go out, and so Abu Baha didn't go out. He didn't really have to, but he thought it was wise enough. For 4 years, he didn't go outside the gate. And we drove over, and then they knew exactly where to take us. Someone told me that there was a young man working for Cook who really was at the high. He wasn't saying anything about it.
Yes.
That's why we were
in a very good place.
Yes.
And so we drove into the big courtyard, you know, and Abu Baha's sons-in-law came out and took our baggage, took us in and took us up a long flight of steps. And the men, you perhaps have seen those steps that go up.
Yes.
And we were taken up to the quarters. The men's quarters was down below. And you got this long flight. you see, these buildings, many of them were built during Crusade times.
Very old.
Yes.
Very old, you know. And we were taken up and taken to our room on the second, on the top floor. And I then, when we first got there, the master's daughters came in to see us. And they asked us what they could do to make us comfortable. And then they said, Abu Baha will come and see you a little later. So after we had washed our face and hands and gotten ourselves rather cleaned up from the journey, then we heard steps coming on. Oh, the floors were all stone tiles,
yeah.
Big stones. And you could hear his wonderful step coming along the corridor. And we knew he was coming. And as he came in, that morning, the gardener from one of Baha'u'llah's gardens, gardener of the Burswan, he had a garden that's full of flowers. And that morning, the first hyacinths had bloomed, and this gardener had come in very early to see the master and brought some violets. And so, I don't mean violets, they were hyacinths. And he brought them, and the master came in with these lovely hyacinths in his hand, and he was dividing. There were three of us, my daughter, and then a pilgrim had met us at Port Said, and she went on with us. Well, they painted that picture for me. And he came in, dividing them into three parts, you know, and he said, "Ah, Marabah,
welcome,
you are welcome, you are welcome." And what? Well, you just couldn't help but feel Jesus Christ walking in. That's what it all seemed, as near as I could picture it at that time, you know. It just seemed exactly as if Christ had just was in that body and came into the room. Wasn't that marvelous? And then after we had this wonderful visit with him, and then we had lunch with him. And he asked us questions at the table. And I began to realize the power of Abu Baha, because he said, "Mrs. True, how are affairs in the Chicago Center?" And I said, "Oh, lovely." And he looked at me, and I knew he knew I was lying. That is an adventure. I just felt like I had come up before I made it.
All right, Mother, that's wonderful, dear.
We had lunch with him, and then he visited with us a little while, and then he said, "I will send the women of the household in to see you, and the greatest Holy Leaf will come and see you." And then that was when the greatest Holy Leaf told us when they were banished to Akka and put up in that old awful prison, you know, and how they didn't give them water nor food, and it was so terrible. Scorpions were running around, you know, between the window sills and things like that. It hadn't been occupied for quite a while. It was up a long flight of steps, you know, and there's cobwebs and everything you can think of. They no food, scanty clothing, so cold they were nearly freezing, the worst conditions you possibly can imagine, no comfort at all, not even drinking water. But she said when the great big key, I think the key must have been that large.
When that key
locked them up in that prison, and they then realized that they were not going to be separated from Baha'u'llah. Oh, it was so thrilling to have her tell us that, you know. And Baha'u'llah sent word to them. He said, "Please do not chant." And they were chanting quite loud.
Show their joy and happiness.
Nothing.
Sorrows, that didn't matter.
Nothing else mattered. Just to be in Baha'u'llah's presence. It is the presence of God, you know that. And he sent word for them. He said, don't chant so loud, because the guards, keepers of the prison, they hear you chanting, and you've been sent here, we've been banished here as crazy fanatics, and they'll be sure we're a body of crazy people, he said. So they had even not to, they had to stop the chanting. No. But that didn't make any difference. The house was so overjoyed.
No, Mother,
that she came in the afternoon, you know, and
tell
of these things. Well, when after dinner that night, I asked Abubahar's daughter, who did the interpreting for me, I asked her, I said, Mama Kanum, we have a number of things, letters and little things that have been given us to bring to Abubahar, and will you take them to him? And Mama Kanum said, no, he wishes you to bring them yourself, and he will send for you when he wants you to come to him. So early the next morning, she came and rapped on our door. And she said, Mrs. True, our Lord wishes you. He didn't ask the others. You know, our Lord wishes you to come to him in a room I didn't know, another room. And so Mama Volcano went with me and took me to this room, and Abubahar was there. And I sat with her for a while, and there was a divan, something like this, in the room, you know. And I selected the presents, the photographs that I was taking of the baby's names, different things, fruitcake and crocheted mat.
Getting them all ready.
But among other things, I put the scroll, the roll of names, I put it back on me like this. I thought, well, now, when I got through delivering these different messages, giving him the things he'd been sent, that then I would take this out and explain it to him. Well, he listened to me for a little while, and then I gave him several things, and then he got up, came over beside me, and reached behind me, took a hold of it, Master Galaskar, and held it up. And he said, the very best thing you could do with this truth.
No warning, you know.
He knew what the important thing were thinking about.
That's right.
And then he talked with me about it, how great the work was and all. And then
then he told you he wanted you to go home and live in Chicago.
Well, he told me that if he wanted to show me something, that was it. He took the scroll and then he said, I will show you something. And he went out and brought back a drawing which someone had made of the ground floor. Well, nine avenues and fountains and that, you know. He brought a drawing that someone had made. And he said, it should be that way.
Somebody has made it before. Do you remember was it by an American made this?
I don't know whether Mr. Getzinger had made it or who. He didn't tell me who made it. He had it. And he said, this is the way it should be, Mrs. True.
Nine-sided.
Yes, nine-sided.
You thought you were bringing something new with a scroll of names, yes. And he was waiting for the drawing of the plan.
Okay. Yes. I was told afterwards, one of the master's daughter told, she said, different ones had written to Abubahar about the temple in America, and he would say, it is not time. Oh, but she'll defend his father.
Yes.
And he came in an early morning when the women of the household always met early in the morning and had a cup of tea with the master. And he didn't come in that morning, but shall defend his father came in, and he said, oh, I have something to tell you. He said, you know, different ones have supplicated to Abu Baha about this, and he would say, it is not the time. And he said, this morning, I took dictation, a tablet, to Mrs. Corinne True, that now is the time. And it's up there on that
picture,
at the head of that stairs.
Of
that stairs.
And that far out that window is the
now, now is the time, and make a beginning, and all will come right.
And we only stayed, we stayed, I think we left on the sixth day. We had 6 days we were there, and we went, in the meantime, we went. He, you see, he hadn't been out of the, outside of what was the backup, for 4 years. And so his, the women of the household would take us out to see the Garden of the Rizwan and over to the shrine of Baha'u'llah, you know. And we would, and then the daughters would took honor to the Mohammedan mosque in the mornings, and they had great times, you know. And he would give us talks at the table. And one noon, when we went in to have lunch, he said, we have a guest today, Shoghi, Mrs. Chu, Shoghi Effendi. He was 10 years old. He said, we have a guest today, and I have allowed Shoghi Effendi to come and have lunch with you today. And then Abu Baha said, Shoghi Effendi, which one of our guests do you like the best? He said, the youngest one.
Miss
Anna.
She's only about 14.
Yeah. But then when I came, when I was ready to go, he always had the guests, his guests always come to him for a private interview to ask him any difficult question. And so he sent for me to come to where Manava was waiting for me in the room. And I asked him, as long as he had said it was the best thing I didn't do and wanted me to do it. And I asked him what he wished me to do. And he said, I wish you to live in Chicago. I wish you to work for the Master Kalaska. And if you do work for the Master Kalaska, you must live in Chicago.
22 years, and never was it.
I'll never forget, you know, I sat beside him and he took hold of his hand. And I could feel like a great power pulsing from Abdul Baha, you know. I could feel it going through me. It was a most unusual thing. And so he, when I this other pilgrim had met us at Port Said and came up on boat with us. And she was going back, and so he said, you came with Madame Scaramucci. Isn't that a funny name?
Yes,
you came with her. It would be better if, when she goes, if you would go. Oh, I would have stayed till it did.
Yeah. It was difficult for him to have visitors at that time.
Of course.
Very dangerous for him and for them.
You know, Mr. Chase and Mr. Agnew and Mr. Sheffler came a month later, and they almost threw rotten eggs at them. There was such, the enemy had been working so, you know. And they had to leave very suddenly.
There was a very sweet story you told me at the convention last year about Abu Baha saying people were like letters. Do you remember his words on that? That you shouldn't pay attention to the outside of the letter.
Oh, yes, what he said. When we were all saying goodbye to him, you know, we left in the morning, and we had to drive back to from Accra to Haifa. It's 9 miles around. There's no other way to go, you know. And when we were all getting ready to leave, oh, it was terrible. Tears. Oh, you couldn't hold them back. And the family, the pilgrims that were in the family, they all felt the same way. You just think that we had known each other all our lives. And I was, when I went over, it was my first visit abroad, you know, and at Naples, I didn't dare to get off the boat. I was so afraid because those were early days. The boats didn't, you had to get out and be rowed to shore, don't you know? And they told such awful tales about those Italian boatmen, how bad they were, and if you crossed them, if they asked a certain price, and they'd just cut your throat, you know. So I didn't get off the boat there at Naples. Then when we got to Alexandria, where we had to leave the steamer, the Arabs came climbing all over that boat. I was frightened to death. I said Naples was nothing compared. I had to get off it, you see. But that was the first contact I made when we got to Alexandria with the Oriental believers. And that was the father and the family of this Oriental believer who lives in Berkeley and married an American girl,
yes,
Ali Yazdi.
Yes,
he was a little boy. Little boy that time, you know. And there was my first contact with it. But that scroll, you know.
Was it because of the roughness of these people that you asked Abu Baha about them, and he mentioned this about the letter? Is that what led him to make that statement?
That I said let him make it. He knew that I was afraid to get off, don't you know?
Uh-huh.
Really, they know you better than you know yourself.
Yes.
These prophet men, you know, I say, I don't know, this tree, it's a tree of life, you know. They know the past and the present and the future. They're all one to them. And
what
so
words
he said,
exactly did he use?
He said, Mrs. Stu, you see, I had been so afraid of them. And so he took a hold of my hand and he held my hand. He said, now, Mrs. Stu, when you go back, I want you to look at every human being and say to yourself, you are a letter from my beloved. And I must love you because of the beloved that wrote you. But he said, the letter might be torn, it might be blurred, it might be disfigured in every way, but the fact that the beloved wrote the letter, he said, you must love it for the beloved's sake.
The message that is within is the important thing.
I think I told you that.
These have been the memories of Mrs. Corinne True of Wilmette, Illinois, one of the earliest pioneers of the Baha'i world faith in America.